Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Devarim. Parshas Devarim begins with Moshe Rabbeinu's final swan speech to Bnei Yisrael, and the Torah tells us, "Baby, I add in Beretz Moav, Hoil Moshe Beyeres HaTorah Azos." On the other side of the Jordan River, in the land of Moab, Moshe began to declare this Torah. Rashi explains that Moshe explained the Torah Beyer in 70 languages. Now, Am Yisrael certainly didn't have to know 70 languages, and even if they did, what good would be the purpose of translating into 70 languages be, since they surely understood Hebrew best of all? So Rav Amital Zatzal explained that the 70 languages represent the 70 cultures of the world. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach Am Yisrael that the Torah is something to say in every culture. Throughout history, many different cultures have arisen, each in conflict with Judaism from a different point of view. And therefore, Judaism has had to address each in an individual way. Moshe's message was that the Torah has an answer for every nation and for every culture. And so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you Ara Nahara Gadol Nahar Pras. He said, Pnu Sulochem Har Mori, until you get to the great river Pras. Now, Rashi explains it's called Hagadol because of its connection to Eretz Yisrael. This is true, even though it's the weakest of the rivers in Gan Eden. So why is it Hagadol? So Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal adds that being connected to Eretz Yisrael makes things great. When we're connected to Eretz Yisrael, makes everything we do greater. Even the nations of the world understand it, and that's why they fight us, giving us any connection or sovereignty over it. They don't want us to have anything. They send us Katusha rockets. They go ahead and fight with us so that we should not have sovereignty over the land. And that is their method to their madness. So Moshe chastises the people and he says, Vatikrifun Eli Kulchem, you came together. And Rashi says, but the people came in a mob scene with people pushing in no particular order. And this stands in contrast to the same Vatikrifun of Matan Torah. Well, why does the order or lack thereof affect the message that the order presented? So Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita explained that there's a well-known chazal that derech eretz kadma l'torah. In other words, the way we ask for something determines how we will utilize it. And when we do it carefully and respectfully, there's growth and hope for a positive impact. However, when we cannot even ask for things properly and only come as a messy mob, no good comes from that situation. And Moshe adds, Hashem is anaf bi biglalchem, Hashem got angry at me too because of you. Was Moshe correct? Was he punished because of the Meraglim? Isn't that an incorrect attribution of blame? So the late great Rav Nissen Alpert came along and said that the word biglal doesn't mean because, or rather for. Think Avraham Avinu, he said, V'chaisa nafshi biglalech, they'll keep me alive because of Sarah. No, that doesn't make sense. It would be because they keep me alive for you, that you should have a sibling, somebody there to take care of you. So Rav Nissen Alpert explains that the Rambam notes that Moshe was to be replaced by Yoshua because Moshe was more demanding than that which the people could provide. So Hashem made the change in leadership for the benefit of the Jewish people, and that's what Moshe was alluding to. Of course, at other points in time, when the story of the Meraglim was coming back, you sat and cried all night, V'lo shama Hashem b'kolchem, v'lo ezin aleichem. Hashem didn't want to listen to you. And the cries of the Meraglim lead to the cries of the future. In Eicha 2, we note that one of the punishments of our time is that our tefillos are not listened to. Gam ki ezak v'ashave asasam tefilasi. So my Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Genach Shlita, noted in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, that this might be the reason we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av, because Hashem's not listening. That's very different from the other suggested reading of the Ramah, that Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. The Nafgamina, notes Rav Genach, is whether one says Tachnun on Erev Tisha B'Av at Mincha. If it's a Moed, you wouldn't say it. But if Tachnun is not said because Hashem doesn't listen on Tisha B'Av, that's only true on the day itself. So what is that Moed aspect all about? So Rabbi Genach added that even when Hashem isn't listening, that which we know is that He still cares enough for us to punish us. And that's still a reason to call the day a Moed, Kralei Moed, to know that even in His anger, He's still there. He cares to be angry at us. I had a teacher once who told us that so long as my parent was beating on me, I knew she was still alive. And therefore, in the midst of the Shoah, that too was a message. Vineshimat, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe tells the people that when you're involved and you go with the nations of the world, Vineshimat Ma'od, you should be on guard. On guard for what? So Rashi explains that you need to be on guard when the nations of the world are afraid of you. You certainly need to be on guard when they're successful and they're not afraid of us. So Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the author of the Shemen HaTov, he explained that in these cases we're told to turn Safona or northward. But more correctly, says Rabbi Weinberger, perhaps we're told to turn Safona, inside, inwardly. In other words, even when we're successful, we need not be demonstrative and ostentatious, for whether superior in Ruchnius or Gashmius, it's not a good idea for Jews to be demonstrative of it. We need to be careful excessively here, v'nishmartem me'od, and hence the Torah warns us. So, v'aydaber Hashem elai le'mor, Hashem spoke to me. Rashi notes that during the middle 38 years that Bnei Yisrael were in the desert after Chedam Raglim, Hashem didn't speak to Moshe face-to-face to teach us that the Shekhinah speaks to a leader as a merit for the masses as well. So late great Rav Moshe Schwab Zatzal explained that sometimes we wonder why we bother getting involved in community issues. Wouldn't our lives be more spiritual and useful if we were not involved in the community? However, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself derived his spiritual sense from his communal involvement, then certainly we too need to think of our role in the community first. That's our responsibility. And we should realize that we don't lose when we do that. The Schus HaTzibur Mesayeya, the benefit of the community, certainly helps us in our process. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read very clearly that Kisavol Eros Panayim Yibikesos Miyadchem Mirom Mos Chatzerai. When you came to see me, who asked you to come? Rashi comments that Hashem doesn't need the visit of someone whose heart is in Shalem, someone whose heart isn't straight with Him. And Rav Shechter Shalita explained that the Beis HaMikdash was a special place not only for bringing karbanos, but also for tefillah. And Hashem desires the tefillah of tzaddikim, and in the Beis HaMikdash, one's able to be sincere with Him there, right? And of course, nevuah, which also emanates from the Mikdash, is the other side of the coin, insofar as that's how Hashem communicates with us. Our problem is we didn't, and we do not take tefillah seriously. And hence, Hashem says, if we're not going to take tefillah seriously, maybe quesos. Why are you bother coming to Him with that which is insincere? So, of course, as we're sitting where we are, we have a responsibility to keep the sincerity strong and proud. And to try to figure out, as we're amav da'aretz, so that we can achieve Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha Ben Hashuva, and we can achieve Echad Eishameinu Kekedem, a Shabbat Shalom, and Nechem HaSzion V'Yerushalayim to all.